The economic impact from the pandemic is far from equal, with Black workers getting hit the hardest.
We've seen a pretty significant reversal in the last few months since the pandemic has taken hold.
We'll also look at the impact on women and the economy as a whole. Plus, a major oil company makes substantial cuts, what the move says about the sector, and when will we really be able to return to the office?
No amount of hand sanitizers at the door or special elevators or hall patterns are up to meeting those challenges.
It's Tuesday, December 1st. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. A panel of experts advising the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is expected to offer its initial recommendation today on who should get priority for the COVID-19 vaccines. Health workers treating coronavirus patients are expected to be on the top of the list, along with nursing home residents. States wouldn't have to follow the recommendations. These are merely guidelines. Pfizer and BioNTech said they would deliver about 25 million doses by the end of the year. That's probably enough for 12.5 million Americans. Moderna projects about 20 million doses. Cases of the coronavirus infected people in the U.S. as early as mid-December of 2019, according to scientists at the CDC. A study of blood samples revealed the presence of antibodies specific to COVID-19, suggesting that the virus was spreading in western U.S. states before public health officials and researchers initially thought. The economic impact of the pandemic will be discussed in Washington today. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin will appear before a congressional hearing to present a report on the CARES Act. In November, Mnuchin said he would allow some emergency lending programs as part of the stimulus deal to expire at the end of the year, opening a divide with the central bank. A lawyer from the Trump administration urged the Supreme Court to hold off on a ruling surrounding the president's plan to exclude illegal immigrants from the census count. The lawyer said the government may not be able to get the data together in time for January deadlines. Jess Braven covers the Supreme Court for the Journal.
Certainly from the more conservative justices, you saw a willingness to put off this question and see if there was any controversy in the future for them to decide. Some of the more liberal justices, though, thought that the merits of the case were pretty clear as is, which is that the Constitution's language is very straightforward. It says that all persons are to be counted, and there wasn't much room for variance.
Excluding illegal immigrants from the census would likely strip representation in the House of Representatives from some blue states with large immigrant populations in favor of more rural and less populated Republican-leaning states. Software giant Salesforce will report its quarterly earnings today. As we've reported, the company is in advanced talks to buy Slack. It would be Salesforce's largest acquisition ever. ExxonMobil is slashing its spending, cutting back from an aggressive plan to boost oil and gas production by 2025. For more on the move and what it says about the energy sector as a whole, I'm joined by markets columnist Rochelle Teplinski in London. Good morning, Rochelle.
Good morning, Mark.
So, Rochelle, what's behind the move by Exxon? Is this just about falling demand?
Exxon was a holdout. All of its other peers had lowered the value of their oil and gas assets this year, mainly due to lower price expectations. But the company insists that the write-down it's taking isn't because of lower price expectations, but rather is a strategic decision not to invest in some gas assets that it has in the U.S. and Canada, as well as some properties in Argentina. It said it might consider selling those assets, most of which, it should be noted, they bought as part of XTO Energy nearly a decade ago.
As Exxon looks at its future, OPEC is also giving itself a second look.
The cartel agreed record production cuts earlier this year in April to stabilize prices as demand plunged from the COVID pandemic. They had hoped to reverse some of that cut this coming January, but they seem to be struggling to agree and have put the decision off until Thursday. People had expected for them to make it earlier in the week in Monday, so that's making markets nervous, and crude prices are wobbling a bit as the markets had pretty much already priced in this agreement.
Rochelle Teplensky in London. Rochelle, thanks very much.
Thank you too, Mark. Cheers.
Just ahead, the economic burden of the pandemic is not equally distributed. We'll look at the growing inequalities after the break. The U.S. labor market has recovered more than half of the 22 million jobs that were lost at the start of the pandemic. But jobs are returning faster for some groups than others. There are strong disparities emerging based on race and gender, and that could have widespread ramifications for the broader economy. The Journal's Eric Morath covers labor and economics, and he spent some time looking into the Labor Department statistics on these very issues. He joins me now. Eric, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Eric, let's start with Black workers. What do the employment numbers tell us?
Yeah, the numbers tell us that while we saw some progress towards narrowing the gaps in unemployment rates between Blacks and white workers during the last decade, we've seen a pretty significant reversal in the last few months since the pandemic has taken hold. And that means Black workers are likely to have a slower and longer economic recovery than their white peers. And one thing that really stands out is this is true across education levels. In fact, the data that I looked at showed that a Black worker to have about the same job prospects as a white worker needs to have one level of education higher. So for example, a Black worker with a bachelor's degree has the same unemployment as a white worker with an associate's degree.
And what does your reporting reveal as far as the reason behind this?
I mean, economists said that there's a number of different factors ranging from quality of schools to the propensity to end up in the criminal justice system. But even when controlling for a number of different things, the economists I spoke to said, you know, there's still an unexplained gap. And they say that boils down to discrimination.
Eric, at the beginning of the pandemic, we saw women dropping out of the workforce to stay at home with their children as job losses became permanent. Are women getting disproportionately harmed in this?
Yeah, so women have really narrowed the unemployment rate gap, certainly not the wage gap, but the unemployment rate gap with men during the past decade. And that reflects that we had this growth in the service sector where women were employed. Unfortunately, the pandemic has reversed a lot of that. The job losses have occurred in the service sector, places like restaurants, hotels, even schools. And that's disproportionately hurt women. On top of that, as you said, women have dropped out of the workforce because their children are not attending school. And that can have long-term effects that are concerning. We know that once you're out of the workforce, especially for more than 6 months, it's harder to get a job and you have a permanent impact on your earnings going forward.
And in the case of Black women, I'm assuming it's exacerbated even further.
Yeah, Black women have a particular challenge because unlike other racial groups, they're often the breadwinners. Black women have the highest rate of employment among any group of women. So they're often looked towards to support their families. And of course, losing a job to the breadwinner is even that much more damaging to the household.
Looking ahead, we'll hear from the Fed chair and the Treasury secretary today about stimulus programs. Does stimulus factor into these issues of inequality at all?
Oh, certainly it does. I mean, you can just look at sort of a debate around whether there should be direct aid to people who are unemployed. And the numbers would tell us that those are disproportionately women and people of color. Or you can look at, do we need to give aid to small businesses, give aid to entire industries. And of course, that's going to help business owners who tend to be disproportionately white men, would help stockholders, things of this nature, whether the aid goes directly to the unemployed people or whether it kind of trickles down from the top.
And big picture, Eric, what do we know about the broader economic impact of these kinds of racial and gender disparities?
Yeah, an economist we talked to really said it takes two forms. One is we know communities that experience more unemployment and can experience persistently lower income tend to need more support than from the government, things like food stamps, Medicaid, and that costs taxpayers dollars. The other factor, and I think this is more important in the longer run, is This data shows us that Black workers in particular may be doing a job that they're overqualified for, or they might not have gotten the background and training they need to do as well at the job they have. That hurts productivity and ultimately slows the pace of economic growth.
The Wall Street Journal's Eric Morath. Eric, thanks very much.
Sure, happy to join you.
And finally, employers and landlords in cities across the U.S. are realizing that hopes of a return to the office anytime soon are fading, delivering another blow to economic recovery hopes in many cities. The office return rate was climbing steadily since the summer, with nearly 30% in some cities by mid-October. But those numbers are now reversing as coronavirus case numbers continue to climb. The Journal's Peter Grant has a reality check.
There are just too many headwinds right now that the landlords and the employers are facing. You're having local governments advise people not to go to work. You're having local governments advise employers to be careful. And no amount of hand sanitizers at the door or special elevators or hall patterns are up to meeting those challenges. So employers and landlords are pretty much resigned that there's not going to be a big return to the office until at earliest the spring. And probably the summer.
The repercussions are harsh for many of the businesses that cater to the office crowd. They are barely hanging on or have given up. One restaurant owner in Midtown Manhattan said his business is down 85 to 90% from normal. And that's what's news for Tuesday. We're back tonight with a new show. Until then, you can follow the day's news on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.